scratch the surface through the soil, hold your nails with dirt, dig, dig, dig frantically deeper, ignore the emotional hurt until you come across the rotted remains of the coffin lid of your memories. Now you have come this far, do you dare lift the lid? A decision needs to be made. Logic pervades the senses, the pros and cons line up on either side, making it a simple matter to decide the balance the scales are tilted. But your gut instinct demands otherwise, to ignore the masses and follow your heart. Huge rusted chains surround and envelop. Great padlocks with keys long thrown away by your own hand bind the shackles together, keeping your mind closed. But you've long realized the power inside could set you free. Do you dare rip the cracked flawed steel? Do you reject and throw away all those feelings of deja vu and the many fated coincidences that pervade your life? Have you betrayed the subconscious power that paints your truth? If so, you ignore the cosmic forces that bind the universe at your peril. Bottle up your ego. Make yourself small. Spread yourself along the small. This is far easier than to be a voice true, true to you, to shout and sing a dance along the streets. They'll say you're mad, but do you care? So pick up the scalpel and cut deep inside. Do not be afraid of the you that hides. There's a power lurks within that science cannot begin to explain or dissect. Connect, connect, connect. Who are you?
Next up, please welcome Sue Coffrey. Thank you. Can't ask the I haven't got mine memorized. Now, this is for my best friend, Sis, and it's a true story. No nails in her coffin. One random Sunday at a car boot sale, Kate came face to face with a 6-foot-high wood cross. Found in Father's barn, said the Rexton trader. Soon as he died, there it was, hid behind the bale. Must have made it himself, the old coot. Carved it from birch, used no nails. See here how he inlaid this piece. Kate bought the cross. After all, it spoke to her, called her by name. Back home, she placed it by her bed. Morbid, said her friends. Her husband said not a word. Each night, she runs a hand along the chiseled face, savoring whorls, the layers, the notches, the scars, so like the slice where scalpel had excised her own right breast. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Next up, we might give Julie just a moment to settle in. So next up, we'll have are you ready? All right, grand girl. Okay. Next up, we have the exceedingly lovely Julie.
Okay. The poem was over 10 years old, so I'm not going to say any more about that. And all I have is warning, health warning with it. If I own the fence which is out of Catholic, I'd be going to do the and it's based on a true event, so I ended up in the A&E. But that's fine. In the mercy of the mercy at Cork's A&E, my darling mother standing worried, trying to comfort me. I don't think many details are required, chest pain from all the nice old wires. A lady with glasses, a clipboard and pen, name, address, phone number, next of kin, and then the rhetoric, religion, Catholics, Jesus, no! She stared amused. I'm not at all. I'm pagan, I'm a witch, the flowers I grow, la la. My mother smiled nervously, the lady still amused. I really need to see a doctor. A few days passed and I was called from the waiting room into the hospital's sterile nursing room. The doctors tested, prodded and nodded very professionally as I lay in a doped panic thinking what could have been. If they hadn't have asked my religion and I was in my deathbed, would there be a Christian brother or convent sister standing over my head? I am here to hear your last confession and to give you your final blessing. And whether your journey is to heaven or hell, only the good Lord himself can tell. I'll give me a break of fuck's sake and travel the globe into my soul I probe. For the meaning of life, do I want to be mother or wife? And sadly, the only answer I found was that Irish Catholics were most miserable around. Thank thee, Father, for I have sinned. I farted out loud and then I sinned. With their half-hearted masses and sexist beliefs, where nuns remain silent and priests are the chief. I'd say Holy Mary could have done with a stiff one in a fag. The poor woman gave birth and never had a shag.
Oh my
God. I dare they insist gay relationships are unnatural. The world needs love and acceptance, not hate. And by carrying such prejudice, you're determining your own fate. And that's a life that will never see true happiness or peace. Your own child might be gay, or nephew or niece. I don't want to preach, teach, or insult, but open the mind to support in their cult and their fault. When my final day comes and my soul leaves my clay, may pagan witches dance naked round where I lay. St. Patrick arrived here with a big shtick, and Christianity for all our sake. But personally, I'd rather the Emerald Isle be riddled with snakes.
Woo!
This is just incredible, though.
I'm cheating. I'm going to read a little poem from the 5-word challenge annual. And if I can find it. And this is a poem about reaching a cracking point. That the words were challenging, the words were defenestration, asterisk, courgette, insatiable, milk. I have removed, my editor said over lunch, that asterisk on page 24. You what? I said. She did not reply. Her mouth was too crammed with courgette. That asterisk, she gnashed. On page 24, it's history. Then she went on eating, quite callously, I felt. She demolished a huge steak, assassinated an extra portion of chips, reduced whole bowls of vegetables to terrified, trembling strands. She was insatiable. I want that asterisk, I said. No, she said, it goes. So I threw her out the window. After this impromptu defenestration, I looked down at her remains in the street remorsefully. Who was going to do my editing now? Oh well, I thought. No use crying over spilt milk.
You didn't realize we're such a tough crowd, this poetry crowd. Next up, please welcome Finbar Finnegan.
Not long back from Athy, Obama was in Moneygall. My friend's car took me there and back, had me a great weekend. I left Cork just before Lindsay Windsor came and smiled. Everyone got a nod, smile, handshake. Tourists will come, they say. I hope they see this broken down town, city, Barry Street, Shannon Street, our very own Calcutta. What did her with the smile say? Brand new flowers. She's back home now, thinking about what she didn't see.
Next up, we have a man who just launched his debut collection this past Friday at Trisco. So please welcome Dom Redding.
Thank you.
called Tyndall, who he was the first man to translate the Bible into English and put it into book form, and he lost his faith. I think King Henry VIII smashed it. I read one night in Limerick with Richard, and he read this, he wrote this. It's called the Book of Genesis, and there's no last in it. Sorry about that.
No, you're okay.
So, this was heaven and earth finished with all their apparel, so Tyndall wrote. Nothing was attached yet. All was in a dream. Bushes floated, or nearby, or nearly. There was a then a mist rose, and out of that mist, so the dream which had come out of a dream and was recorded by a dreamer ended. Everything got tacked on. That it had been a dream, the perfection of it. It, what we breathe, live, see, step on, fight with, sleep under, sometimes is not there when we blink or think. Before this Genesis was only the harm that dreams have, not our familiar harm, only the devoured and the devouring, recurring arm in arm, an intimacy of relationship that love is cousin to. Today is the 1st of May 2009 in Paris. I look out my window. I read Tyndall, the poet strangled. I drink my coffee. I remember last night's dreams, fairly ugly. No need to turn on the radio news to hear the latest horrors of the species who found it necessary to invent radio. I start to say hello, Earth, but the words stick. False peace. Hello, cords tugging at the pegs. Hello, sound of a heartbeat, remembering its cousins.
Now that I just had a couple seconds on the mic, I'd like to thank Please Joe for inviting me over here, and it's my first time here. I'm an American, obviously, and I've been living in Dublin for the past couple months, taking a semester of Trinity, and I was lucky enough to meet Joe down here for the Cork Writers Festival a couple months ago, and he told me I should come back and come with me, so here I am. It's only recently that I've started to dip my fingers into poetry. I'm still trying to understand exactly what it is, and I suppose it's part of the reason why I'm learning. Do forgive me if I stumble over a couple of the words, because it's hard to read my handwriting, especially something that I haven't read in a couple months. So, this is called Wind Machines. The chill descended by way of September's late in breath. The farmers grew nervous. On open acres, frost is foul air. Sedulous, they peered at their almanacs, their cows' tongues, employed wind machines as electric lifeguards. They watched with warm faces the last corn and radish plantings, hoping to warm them, wrung their hands. The fields my grandfather watched shivered. His plants were left alone to crawl through the earth, the frost hovering over cold future weeks like an old story. Earth is an old story. My grandfather farmed his crops like he did his children. There was no speech, no soil pierced by a spade above the seeds. The climate was too cold. He grew dying like cheese each year. His sons learned to winnow, to throw grain to the open sky. One left at 16 years. And in October, the Irish setter had glazed eyes. The mouth foamed, was heard less barking at the alpha mouth of a 20-gauge, was brought to the nearby woods. in my grandfather's wheelbarrow, an offering to the wolves. The next winter, he turned the gun's hollow mouth to his ancient self, but last moment panic made him only lose hearing in one ear. Slow, determined, and elegant. He farmed his way through 81 years of shifting body weight held in mud between two footholds. When I was young, we picked pumpkins. It was autumn. The emaciated leaves looked less crippled than he did. Neither would last the season. "Don't step in the rot ones," he said. "It'll get on your feet. Don't want death clinging to it." There was his wheelbarrow. When it moved, it made noises. I saw him ignore it with frail veteran ears.
So you're well on your way, I can say that. The beginning is just there. Thanks very much. We hope to see you again. Please, next welcome, Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Jennifer. In keeping with all things Merrilton, I'm going to add have a poem here which I wrote about 15 years ago. It's called "We Call America." Are you coming home for tea this time of the day, this year, when the weather has just started, improving, reviving indeed the sun? So come on, tell me about your death and subsequent life. In the Fijian banks, officially ranking best in the world by the World Thumb Rule. Natural born psychosis, I believe. Nothing on welfare, all for scrutiny. Walk your way and pay your duty. All in disarray, I believe. You're about to ask me, Morrison is joking at the brink of his grave. I kid you not. You agree? America serve your purpose, chairman. Another one I wrote about 15 years ago. It's about so the teenagers trying to find their identity, trying to find their niche, and I'm always succeeding. It's called "This Must Be Your Life." Although I know for sure and that I wasn't cultured at the time, today the experiments evolved and proved more sensual and sublime. Realities I know will have to be faced, but with just which kind is a query that looms. And there is a history of the craze, seeing us on the sinking looms. If I tell and I am unsure, they will be shocked. But I am sure enough, that's fine, but then, the pure other questions will be asked, on names I like from 1 to 10. This is me, no question, no bother, but what kind of picture should I try to conceive? It's right, no one will write in fits and starts. I should approve what's fun to believe. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up we have Michal Roche.
This one's called The Break Dawn. Pain, pain, go away. Please come back another day. Preferably a day when I'm more equipped, with a block of hash and adapter script. Minutes lead to days, and days lead to years, using the same cure to hold back the tears. Tears of sadness, grief and loneliness, and tears of unexpressed fears. When it all began, I was happy as well, and some years later, I'm below the scrotum. The Bible says what goes around comes around. Makes sense that my soul shivers with that sound. Are you willing to die while you're still breathing? Only those who've been to hell and back can understand such a way of thinking.
Thanks, Michal. And please welcome John Gibson.
This is one of my favorite poems. I'm a musician and I've made a setting of quite a few different poems, but this is one of the first ones I did. It's "I See His Blood Upon the Rose, and in the stars the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows, his tears fall from the skies. I see his face in every flower, the thunder and the singing of the birds are but his voice, and carved by his power, rocks are his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn, his strong heart stirs the ever-beating sea. His crown of thorns is twined with every thorn, his cross is every tree.
Thanks so much, Sean. Next up, do we have one from yourself?
We've got one
from Graham Burgess.
I'll do one
that I probably read this a month ago, but I was looking over it and I kind of liked it, so I'd like to read it again. It's called, I didn't write the title, so I don't remember. Here lies a man who has not lost his faith, face still bright in the moon, tethered to his soul like a kite. And here lies a man whose fingers still feel savage and genius, meaning swords through neckties and dull-eyed dairy cow businessmen. And here lies a man who has not lost his faith, who needs only the sound of rain or the smoothness of your skin or the memory of the smoothness of your skin or to sing the body electric with the current of coming to wake in his woods, the current of clouds coming in. Here lies a man who still buzzes in the mouth of twilight, and here lies a man who cradles hearts and whose only business with wounds is to stitch them closed, choruses and floral prose to sing the world to sleep, whose turning stomach, churning under his skin, is a fire, not black water. Here lies a man who watched three riders ride through his orchard, and who sent each one head hung with their messages burning with the sun back to that factory where they came from, and who lays on the ground chin cheerily in the dust, breathing bravely at noon. And here lies a man, and he lies to you. He fears his legs too weak to stand, so he lies from beneath these feeble hands, wrapping them up like fresh meat. Here reads a man who lies between his teeth. The other one is something that I've kind of been working on thinking about for a little while, and I guess it's kind of in keeping with this, like, kind of weird religious thing that's happened. I'm not sure what that is, but it's not as blasphemous as it seems, even though it seems really good.
Boom!
It's called the Parable of the Fig Tree. Today's sermon was on the parable of the fig tree, when a carpenter told to me that there'd be no alarm sound when my bones grow old, when it happens, I'll know. Or it was over the thief on the cross, who from trespass to tribulation could always straighten his nails and flail playfully to weep through his laughter on the dusty earth. Or on that singular birth of a boy who came to fix things but just fucked them up, whose cup was blood because someone failed along the way. Thanks.